We have clouds in our forecast? Is that what you're saying?
As Judy Collins would say, I looked at clouds from both sides now. Apparently there's another side of the cloud that I wasn't aware of, and it's only a term that has come into my, consciousness probably in the last, maybe I know less about real clouds than I do about these clouds. Todd Lyle has written the book called Grounding the Cloud. He joins us this morning to explain that. Todd, when did the word cloud get into the vernacular here? When did we start?
It's been a number of years now within the tech community. It's been about 10 years. It started to drift out for you and me as for consumers within probably the last 3 to 4 years.
And can you explain what it is? I know it's something that's out there. It's like sort of like trying to explain the internet in a sense, but explain what is the cloud in our terms that we need to know about?
Well, you and I are talking today. You're at a fixed station, and I'm on a mobile phone. And there's a telecommunication system and an internet grid between us. There's hardware, and there's software, and there's middleware, and there's people that are doing their jobs to make sure that the lines of communication are open and secure. That's essentially what the cloud is. The cloud is an ecosystem of cloud services that provide you and me with utility computing. Utility computing, I liken. You had mentioned the grid and the internet. You have the electric grid in the United States. We have our water utilities. Very soon, most of all of our computing will be done in a very similar manner, where there's the Hewlett-Packards and the Microsofts and the Dells with their giant hardened data centers and brokers like myself that are in between making sure that we're acting as the sentry and the middleman for the consumer so that we can consume high-quality, enterprise-level computing at utility pricing.
So the cloud isn't something that's just a concept. I mean, there's actual hardware involved in cloud computing, correct? There are actual servers somewhere.
Absolutely. And that's a lot of people get concerned about where are those servers. The servers are all over the world. If you're dealing with a broker like myself, we're going to ensure, let's say you're a law firm. Law firms, for certain reasons, need to keep things. Some want to keep them inside the United States. When I say them, I'm referring to the data. So you have data centers all over the world, and then you have your internet grid that pulls those data centers together. You have your software, much like Microsoft Office and Excel. Those are all, we're peering into them. So you're no longer going to be downloading software and operating systems on the server there in your station. Ultimately, there'll probably be a data center that works just with radio stations and handles their line of business. So, yeah, it's all very real, and it exists somewhere.
I'm so into the subject, so I'm just jumping in here. I think everybody is familiar with the term iCloud from Apple. We were talking about Apple Pay earlier. But, you know, the cloud's kind of gotten a bad rap lately with celebrity photos being hijacked. So a lot of people are not too comfortable with the cloud.
Well, these are definitely growing pains. We're going from the traditional IT system where we keep our servers in our closet or down in the basement somewhere. It's a new world, definitely a new world order and a little bit of the Wild West. But since you brought Jennifer Lawrence up and of the Hunger Games and some of the other celebrities that have been exposed, no pun intended, they need to take some responsibility at their end, and so do you and I, by no longer just arbitrarily using our daughter's birth date or our street address or something like that for our passwords. Norton.com offers a password generator that creates passwords randomly, and there's a company called KeePass, K-E-E-Pass, that offers a password vault. So you get down to the point where you only need to know one password, and then once you get inside, it's like a black book. It keeps all of your passwords secure for you, and they're randomly generated, and they're encrypted, and those are keys for us to be users, to be smart. You mentioned iCloud. Again, Jennifer Lawrence was not hacked from the standpoint of the financial data that you're hearing about. Her password was figured out by some bright person, and that's how they got in. So we have to practice personal safeguards. And we are also getting better at hardening the areas as far as the major corporations are concerned. Again, I mentioned Hewlett-Packard and Rackspace and Amazon Web Services. They're working diligently to close those gaps or those windows where people can get in.
We're talking today, this morning, with Todd Lyle. The book is called Grounding the Cloud, Basics and Brokerages. There seems to be quite an industry that's developed out of this. You mentioned not only the people that are, you know, brokering and the working with the servers, but people coming up with programs that work to keep, you know, your information safe. So obviously, this is probably a big growth area for businesses, not only in the United States, but worldwide, too.
Oh, it's a huge area. At every turn, what you have, Apple's a great example, because the music, and I talk about this in my book, they act as a middle. iTunes is a music middleman. Some of us get frustrated because our music is now locked down within the Apple environment, but that singularity or that line keeps it secure. It keeps it easier for Apple to make sure that their systems are locked down, and they're not impermeable yet, but we're going to get there. So Apple's an excellent example of a proprietary cloud using, by the way, the public infrastructure or the public cloud for us, the telecommunications system, so that we can all collaborate, talk, share our photos, and do other fun things.
You mentioned about certain things being safe. What about, is that, that goes with our financial information? Because I think once the information is somewhere in the cloud, it's always going to be there, and sometimes we wonder where is it going and who has access to it.
Well, that's an excellent question, and again, it comes down to using reputable organizations. What we're going through, I mentioned the Wild West a minute ago. There are many people. I mean, we're in a capitalist society. Anybody can join the fray and decide that they want to put a service out there. What I encourage people to do is to go with the majors, go with the organizations that are known for what they do. Again, Microsoft and their software. We all use their products. We'll continue to use them for years. And they're working, again, diligently to make sure that there aren't any loopholes or open windows as far as security are concerned. But what happens is, go back to the celebrity pictures, or let's say some of the Snapchat that's out there. You heard about that issue, where people are taking naked pics of themselves and thinking they're disappearing. There are 19-year-old kids out there that are gleaning this data, and they're gleaning it in a very large manner, but they're also doing it in a haphazard manner as well. So they may be able to get hold of the data, but being able to drill down on that data and make something useful of it, that is an entirely different challenge. So, when your information is out there on Apple, it's staying in Apple unless somebody is able to get in and to steal that information. And yes, sir, once it's out there, that's when we have to make changes. But if every time this happens, forensically, we're learning and we're correcting, and we'll get out of this. We'll get into our teenage years here in a year or two as far as the service is concerned, and eventually it will get so we have the majors doing what they do, the sentries making sure things are protected, and we as users are going to be more savvy in how we secure our information.
Go ahead, Susie. Well, I was going to get into the issue related to, you know, it's sort of a global cloud. I would assume everyone kind of has access to it. How do you deal with the politics, different countries, you know, sort of that type of thing where we are one world, but we're not? How do you keep, countries, the borders still exist there?
Yeah, the borders are definitely there, but the grid is not. That's, again, these, you have to keep in mind data packets. The information travels in individual packets, and the collection of those packets at the other end, that's when that message comes through and you're able to put together a picture of Jennifer Lawrence or a picture of a sunset or someone's financial data. You have to be able to collect all those data packets when they come together at the other end. Yeah, we all remember Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Remember Mike TV as he transferred through the air? Those, think of that in that terms of those data packets. If you don't get a complete set of data packets, you're not going to be able to have complete information. So that's something to keep in mind. When information isn't properly encrypted, it makes it hard to break down and get into that kernel of information. So again, it comes down to the individuals being prudent with their information, working with trusted organizations, again, Microsoft, Dell. I mean, these they're daunting, they're huge entities, but they also are experts at what they do.
You know, our digital property is obviously a big responsibility, and I want you to give me that app again for password I guess, what is it, like password retention sort of? Because I was with a friend yesterday, and she had to create a new password, and this was actually for Apple. And it was like the numbers and the letters, and it had to be like 10 digits. It was ridiculous. So I think it's really helpful.
Norton.com. Norton is a semantic company,
mm-hmm.
and you can go out to their password generator page, and it's free. And it's randomly generated, so these are, you're never going to get it again. It's what one number pops up, and it's got the alphabet and the right size characters and the right size numbers. And then you can put those into a vault. Norton offers one for pay, or you can use something that I like. It's called KeePass. It's a third-party product. It's now linked to Google and to Dropbox. But ultimately, you can store your passwords. You can encrypt the passwords. So that, again, you just have to remember one, when you're dealing with small business owners, they've got their users, they've got their self, they've got their accountants. There's multiple passwords that need to be generated and then managed. So Norton.com for your password generator, and then KeePass, that's KeePass. They have a good password generator and a vault that you can keep this information in.
Todd, you may not be a futurist, but where do you see the cloud going and this type of technology? Kind of what is on the horizon next, or what's the next step for this sort of thing?
Well, the next step, we're going to jump rapidly through what we're dealing with, and we're going to go to machine to machine. You'll see that pop up now, M2M. And that's ultimately, let's liken it to the Cleveland Clinic and what they do with their patients. You will be able to be monitored walking through your house throughout your day, doing the regular activities, and information will be transmitted from the device of your choice or your physician's choice throughout the day. So they will be able to take a big picture of you or my health position or our stature, and they can watch us long-term without us even having to go to the doctor's office. So that's an example that we all know. Netflix, another example. Remember, we used to get the DVDs in the mail, and now they're streaming that information to us. It's going to be a world where there's less tangible but more items to be consumed. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. though I still will have to, you know, ask a friend, how does it work? What did you do? Because, you know, manuals are never part of these things anymore. All this stuff basically is, you know, self-taught, or people kind of show other people how things work. It's a lot of word of mouth in a way.
Well, think about it this way. When you drink your water, you're not really concerned. You know, or we have a sense of trust that's been instilled with our utility.
Right.
And when I pick up that glass of water in the morning to drink it, I don't think of all the steps and all the processes to get that glass of water out of Lake Erie or out of the sky into my tummy. There's many, many steps along the way, and there are many people that we trust that we don't know or even think about it. So we're going to have to get to the point where we have trusted advisors, and we say, okay, I'm going to let Rackspace do what they do so I can stick with my knitting. I mean, it's a reality that we're going to have to come to now. In my book, I discuss this, the demographics. I'm 50, turned 50 last week, and the book was written for folks like myself that are not technology as a first language. The kids, you grab an average 14-year-old, and they're able to do many things, including hacking into Snapchat, as I mentioned before. But those minds that have been developed, we're using those minds to develop better and more secure passageways for our information and for the security of that information.
The book is called Grounding the Cloud, Basics and Brokerages. Our guest today, Todd Lyle, thanks for sharing the details and kind of demystifying some of the source. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you, guys.